so we were up to, I believe, the first wide line on Heyam and Beis. Tashma. So Tashma, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Shevet she'asa be'orat b'dino, oto ha'shevet chayav, u'shar kol ha'shvatim p'turin. Rabbi Yehuda had said that a shevet that sins based on the psak of its own personal high court, it is liable, and the other shvatim are exempt. U'v'horat b'din ha'gadol, but if they paskin, if they follow the psak, what did you just do, Rafi?
The fire.
Nice. But if they follow the psak of the high court, afilu shar shvatim chayavin, shma mina, so you see, then at the end of the day, Rabbi Yehuda holds, which is this interesting logic, that Rabbi Yehuda has a double conception. If a shevet is functioning entirely as its own kehilah, meaning it sinned based on the psak of its beitin, so then it brings a carbon by itself. But if a shevet sins based on the national court, so at one level they're chayav to bring their own carbon because they are kahal in the local sense, but there's also that carbon brought for everybody else that are nigrar, right? Because in that sense, they're also tapping into the national definition of kahal. Okay, which is an interesting conception. Amar Rav Ashi. And Rav Ashi says, matnidinami deka. This seems to be implied in the Mishnah as well. Dikatani, because the Mishnah says, vasa oto ha-shevet al pihem, oto ha-shevet chayav, ushar kal ha-shvatim pturim. Lama li lemitne, ushar shvatim pturim. Why do you have to tell us that when the shevet follows its own beit din, so they are, the other shvatim are exempt. Hatana oto ha-shevet chayav. The cave in the Tana oto ha-shevet nimele yadana shar shvatim pturim. We already knew that, because we said that shevet is chayav, which implies that shevet, not everybody else. Elohaka mashmalon, this is what it must be teaching you. Dibeharat beit dino hu dishar shvatim pturim. That if they followed their local beit din, then they're the only ones who are chayav. Aval beharat beit din agadal, but if they follow the high court, afil shar shvatim chayavin shma mina. Okay, next question. Ibailu. Shevet echad sh'asa beharat beit din agadal, l'Rabbi Shimon mimaiti olo. Okay, so we know according to Yehuda. What about Rabbi Shimon? If one shevet follows the high court, what does he hold? So tashma, mahi mevi'in parechat. What do they bring? One cow. Rabbi Shimon omer, shnei parim. So, ma'es kinili mashachat shiva, shnei parim, shmona parim boy. Right? It's two, it must be. If you're talking about the majority of Klal Yisrael, then you're already at eight, 7 plus 1. Ella dechata shevet echad. It must be that even Rav Shimon would hold that if one shevet sins, ubemai, what's the case? Elema b'horat beit dino. If it's a case where they follow their own beit din, so that Rav Shimon doesn't hold that if you follow your local court, that you're liable. That's unique to Yehuda, who totally thinks that each shevet has its own definition as a kahal. Ella b'horat beit din agadol. It must be that we're talking about where they follow the high court. V'tizbira. Does that make sense? Tanakama mani. So who's the Tanakama? E Rabbi Meir. If it's Rabbi Meir, Haruba boy. He always says you need a majority of Klal Yisrael. E Rabbi Yehuda. If it's Rabbi Yehuda, Shar Shvatim Nami Maite. Once you have this case, so all the other Shvatim also bring. So Amani, who is it? Rav Shimon ben Elazar. It must be Rav Shimon ben Elazar. Ukid Detanya. As we said above. Tashma. Vechachamim omrim, chachamim say la olam enu chayav, ella al horad beidin hagadol. You're only liable for the high court. So man chachamim, who limits the case of paralam davershel tibur to only a psak of the beidin hagadol and not the local shvatim? Ilema Rabbi Meir, if it's Rabbi Meir, rubabai. He needs a majority, and that's not the case in this brisa where it's only one shevet. Ella Rabbi Shimon he shma mina. So you see that while Rabbi Yehuda holds that you can be liable for your own, Rabbi Shimon doesn't think that's true. Rabbi Shimon holds that you need the psak of the Beit Din Agadol. Rabbi Yehuda v'Rabbi Shimon shevet echad ikri kahal min alahu. So this concept, though, that you see reflected in Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda's position, Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda's position, that rather, that one shevet also has some sort of definition as an independent entity of kehilah. Where does that come from? So Amri, dichtiv, because the pasuk says, Vayamod Yehoshaphat Bekal Yehuda v'Yerushalayim Anoch Chazer v'Hashem Chadasha. Because Yehoshaphat stood Bekahal Yehuda. So you see that just the Shevet of Yehuda can be referred to as a Kahal. So now the Gemara goes on to darshan that pasuk, Maya Chadasha. What does it mean he stood by the new Chatzar, the Chatzer of Hashem, by the new courtyard? Amar Reb Yochanan Shechidshu Dvarim. Because in the time of Yehoshaphat, they came up with new halachot. V'amru Tful Yom Al Yikanes B'machane Leviyah. And they said that a Tful Yom, meaning someone who already went to the mikvah but needs Harav Shemesh, but he's not fully tahor until nightfall, so he has a quasi tahor tamei status. Even though that's a low level, he can't even, either Abonin at least, or from their psak, enter into the Machane Leviyah. So Maskiv lo Rav Acha Bar Yaakov Mimai. He says, how do you know from Yehoshaphat's story that one Shevet is a Kahal? There wasn't only one Shevet living in Yerushalayim, there were two. Yerushalayim was always shared by which two Shvatim? Yehuda and Binyamin. Dilma Shaini Yerushalayim, Davi Nami Binyamin. Maybe that's why it's Kahal, because once you have more than a Shevet, so then you could say it's part of all of Klal Yisrael, but one Shevet would not actually be an independent Kahal. So he quotes, Rav Acha Bar Yaakov quotes a different pasuk, and he says, "Vayomer Eli, hineni mafrecha v'irbiticha, unetaticha likal amim." Hashem blesses Yaakov, and Yaakov is now telling this over that God blessed him that he would have a kahal, except when he blessed him, 11 of his sons had already been born. So what is this bracha that you will in the future have kahal? Who is this kahal? Man ityalad le'eshaita Binyamin. Only Binyamin was left. Shema mina hachikam arachmana. Midyalad chahashta kahal acharina. And therefore what it's telling you is that you're having one more shevet, and that shevet is called a kahal. Namely Binyamin. Amar le Rav Shva le Rav Kahana. So Rav Shva said, what are you talking about? How do you know Binyamin is called a Kahal? Maybe that's not the drush at all. What's the drush? Adilmi hachika Amar le Rachmana. This is what the Torah is telling you. The chimit yalid lucha Binyamin. That soon you will have Binyamin, and then Klal Yisrael will be complete, and then you will have a Kahal. But the word Kahal isn't on Binyamin. It's the completed entity of Bnei Yisrael, with all the Shvatim, up to and including Binyamin. Yalad l'cha Binyamin, u'dahavu yud beit Shvatim, t'mit kraeit kahal. Amar le, really? Ella?
My instinct.
What?
My instinct would have been to say that having Binyamin brings you up to 12, and 12 is the quorum which gives you kahal.
Correct, so that's what... So that is what Rav Shiva says. But then the Gemara counters, Ela Shneimas Rav Shvatim Ikru Kahal Achad Asar Jem Lo Ikri Kahal. So, really? You think 12 and not 11? Like, I get one is not. But 11 versus 12? You just said that you can't prove anything from Yehoshaphat because Yehuda Paz Binyamin, two Shvatim is called a Kahal. And now you're doubting whether 11 is called a kahal? Right, that doesn't work. Right, those two logical arguments don't go together. Right, Rashi spells it out for you. Right, bitmiya. V'amar d'shnei shvatim ikru kahal Yehuda v'nyamin. Elavad yachamar le d'hashem yad l'chakal achrina. Therefore he says, no, this really is a proof that it is, that Binyamin alone is called a kahal, meaning one shevet is called a kahal. According to Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda. Okay, Tanya, new Braisa. Rib Shimon Omer, Ma Talmud Lomar, Upar Sheni Ben Bakar Tikach Lechatat. Im Lalame Jem Shnayim, Velo Kvar Nemar, Vasara Chat Chatat Vedachat Ola, La Hashem. What do you mean the second? We know there's a second, we can count. We said there are two Karbanot, we detailed them. 1 + 1 = 2, we got that. Very good, very good. What are you telling me, 2? Elo yochol tehene chelet chatat leliviim. You might have thought that this carbon is unique and can be eaten even by Leviim. I don't know why you'd have that Havamina, but that presumably relates to the question of exactly how conceptually distinct are Kohanim and Leviim, which is a bit of a complicated sugya. The main sugya seems to be Bechor Mem Zayin. Talmud Lomar, Ufar Sheini Le'ola, Ma'ola Lo Ne'echelet. Avchatat Lo Ne'echelet. No, it's not eaten at all. Like, maybe here Levim it means Kohanim. It might mean Kohanim, and just means you might thought it was eaten at all. And he's saying, no, this is not eaten at all. Kayotebo, similarly. Amar Abiyosi, Koning Apostle Genezra. Habayim me'ashvia gola, hikrivu olo lelohe Yisrael parim shnei masar v'gomer. Hakol ola. The people came back from Galut, so they brought Karbanot, all olot. Hakololot? That can't be, because we know that they also brought Chatot. Efshar shechatot ola. I don't understand. Some of them were Chatot. Some of them were sin offerings. How can you say they're all burnt offerings? Ela hakol ki'ola. These were unique Karbanot. Ma ola lo ne'echelet, av chatat lo ne'echelet. It was teaching you that these Karbanot were not eaten, which is not true of a normal chatat, which part of it is. Ditanya, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, al avodat kochavim eviyum. Rabbi Yehuda said, why was this carbon unique? Because it was brought, because of the avodah zarah that they had worshipped in the galut. The Omer of Yehuda Omer Shmuel, avodat kochavim, specifically which avodah zarah, not in the galut. He says it wasn't galut, it was what they did. Sha'asubi made tzidkiyahu. It was the avodah zarah they did during the era of Tzidkiyahu, when he was submissive to Melech Bavel. So Bishlam la Rabbi Yehuda Mishkachad la Nishnei Masar Chatot. So now the Gemara comes back to what we've been talking about. It says, I get, according to Rabbi Yehuda, why the people coming back from the Gola with Ezra had to bring 12 Karbanot. Why? Kegon dechadu Shnei Masar Shvatim. Maybe all 12 Shvatim had sinned. The mighty Shnei Masar Seirim. Inami dechadu Shiva Shvatim. Ushari Nach Begreira, or this was the seven, and then the drag along. Uluri Shimonami Mishkachat La Kagon Dechatu. According to Yehuda, once you have the majority, everyone brings. Or according to Rishimon, who has that one catch-all, has the one extra for the Beit Din, it's easy. Rishimonami Mishkachat La Nuchatu Acharas Rishvadim the Manu Acharas Seirim Veidach the Beit Din. Rishimon holds it's always one per shavit plus Beit Din, so 12 is 11 plus 1. That's easy. Elul Rabbi Meir Damar Beit Din Meviin Velot Tzibur. But according to Rabbi Meir, who says you only ever bring one, so Shnei Masar Heichin Mishkachat La. How could it be that in time of Ezra they brought 12? So it must be. They sinned. Right, that's it. So Amara Papa. That's a question. The Gemara says, but wait a second. The people who are bringing are the ones who sinned, right? And normally you have a rule that a chatas, where the owner dies, you don't bring it. So is everyone here that sinned, right? Since the time of Tzidkiyo, they're all alive? Right? That seems to be the implied question, because the Gemara answers, Amara Papa, don't worry about it. Ki gemire chatas shemezu be'alea b'misa hani mili b'yachid. The only time that we have a rule that when the owner dies for a chatas, so the karban has to die and it can't be brought, is only by an individual. A lo bitzibur, lefi she'ein mita bitzibur. Because there is no death to the congregation. Now, if you remember, who should remember this? Tucker should remember this. We gave shir on this last year on the definition of tzibur, and we noted that there seem to be two conceptions of tzibur in the Mefarshim. One is that it's viewed as a sum of its parts. The other is that it's beyond the sum of its parts. It's a corporate entity. Based on those two conceptions, you could look at this in different ways. One is to say, look, when it comes to a tzibor, there are just so many people, so even if some of them died, it's batel. That's a bit of a hard read here. The other, which is the more lamdish read, but also I think the more pashut read in this Gemara, is that no, a tzibor is defined conceptually as a corporate entity, and therefore even if the individuals died, the corporation lives on. Right? Even if every shareholder in Apple dies in 100 years, as long as the corporation exists, it exists, and therefore, by an individual, or even by shutfin, by partners, if one of the people dies, so now the chatas has to die. But if you're talking about a tzibor, the tzibor can never die because it's a corporate conceptual entity. And how do we know this? Minale l'Rav Papa ha. How does Rav Papa know this? Ileim amidichsev ta'achat avasech yuvanecha. If it's because it says in Tehillim that your children will be in place of their fathers, yachia fil biyachad nami. That's not true, because then even an individual could stand in place of his father. Right? That's about continuity, not about the lack of death or lack of registering of halachic death. Ella dugida papa misir de Rosh Chodesh. He learned it out from the karban brought on Rosh Chodesh. The Amar Achmana Maisi Mitrumas Halishka. That you bring the karban from the communal funds. Va Maisi Lahu Mi Israel, v'hanach defaish yechi maisi, el shma mina chadosh meisu balebet tzibor karva. He said, it must be. Look, don't people die? If you bring a carbon every month, I promise you, someone died at some point since the money was collected. So why is it that every communal carbon essentially is not a carbon shechatu, a carbon chata shemesu baaleh? It must be that the tzibor can't die. So the Gemara says, really? Mi dami sayer Rosh Chodesh, dilma lo maisi mi tzibor. Maybe, said, you don't know that, right? Month to month, you're not 100% sure that the people whose money went into the coffers, so they had died. So at least it's a suffix. I will hachavadei maisi. But if you're talking about them sinning in the time of Tzidkiyahu, people are dead. That's generations ago. What's his proof? Tichsiv kaper lamcha Yisrael asher patita Hashem. The Pasuk says, let this atone for your people that you have redeemed. So the Pasuk is Medayik. The Torah is talking to the generation going into Eretz Yisrael. And it says that they should be able to redeem for the people that God redeemed. But who did you redeem? Not the second generation, but the first generation. Ru'uya kapara zu shetechaper al yotzei Mitzrayim. Midechsev asher padisa. So you see that their carbon is redeeming the people who already died, left Mitzrayim. So you see that the tzibor doesn't die. The Gemara says, "Me dummy, asam kulhu isinun mi go de mechapra achayim mechapra nami amesim." He said, "Let's tweak it. Maybe you can prove from that as long as there are people getting kapara who are alive." So then with the tzibor, you could throw along other people. But when it came to the people coming back from Ezra, presumably everybody or almost everybody from the time of Tzidkiyahu was dead. Right? This wasn't, they'd have to be quite old from the time of Tzidkiyahu to be alive. So maybe you could say the tzibor who's dead can be dragged along once you're bringing a kapara for the live people. But you can't just bring a carbon on behalf of the dead. He says, no, here too there were people alive. How do I know? Because the pasuk tells you in Ezra that when they rebuilt the Beit HaMikdash, or they started rebuilding the Beit HaMikdash, there were some people left over from before the Galut, and they were crying. And all the people who had never seen the first Beit HaMikdash, right, this is also in Haggai, The people who never seen the Beit HaMikdash were singing, and you couldn't figure out who was who. So there were some alive. So the Gemara says, "V'dilma mu'atin havu." Maybe they were the minority. V'lo rabim havu. Haksiv. Chuaza simcha l'kol b'chiyam v'gomer v'kol nishma l'rechok. But we said that the crying and the singing were both overpowering. Right? That sounds like they were like somewhat equal. So the Gemara says, stop bringing proofs in there. Because at the end of the day, Hamazidin Havu, the people who worship the Avodah Zarah in the time of Tzidkiyahu worship the Avodah Zarah on purpose. So this is not a normal karbon, because you can't bring a karbon for a purposeful sin. This was a unique karbon. It was a temporary measure, and therefore you can't prove anything from anything, because this is a weird karbon to begin with. Hachinami mistabra, and that makes sense. Dilote imahachi, because if that weren't the case, elim tisha v'shisha kvasim, shivim v'shiva kineged mi, right? They brought 96 karbonot. What is all these karbonot? What are you doing? Right? So, ela harashaisa, zachanami harashaisa, right? Rather, it must have been that this whole thing was a unique halacha of the time of Ezra. Therefore, he can't prove anything. So, stop trying to bring proofs from the carbon in the time of Ezra. That was a unique carbon brought in the time of Ezra. And therefore, the Gemara leaves it at that. We'll pick up on this theme tomorrow at the Tanur Rabbanan. Okay? So, we are 3 lines from the Into the Wide Lines. And tomorrow, we will definitely finish the Perek, probably start Kohen Mashiach, so it's good we got some conceptual issues down onto some of these issues today. Okay? Shkach, guys.